Hello and welcome to episode 4 of All Things Lambda, the Lambda Generation podcast about Valve community content and news. I am Jeff, and here is Gustav, also known as Uyman.
God damn it, I told you never to say my name. All right, hello, my name is Uyman. And I'm co-hosting this episode with Jeff.
Dell is not here this week. He's probably watching the World Cup.
Argentina's gonna win.
I don't know what that means, because I'm American. If you want to ask us a question or have a comment on a topic we discussed, feel free to email us at jeff@lambdageneration.com. We will try to get a podcast email open, but you can try and email them to me, and we will be sure to get to it in a future episode. And so, what's first on the topic? The docket. Speaking of big international sporting events, the International 4, which is the Dota 2 tournament, it kicked off this week on Tuesday with the playoffs. And, I'm just going to get into it. We got 6 teams disqualified on the 12th of Saturday.
What? Disqualified?
Yeah, so they are out. They're done.
Okay, so they didn't even play or anything, or...
No, they're done. They lost.
Okay. So they just they were bad. So they, all right, cool.
So Arrow, and the Navi US division, Empire, Mouse Esports, or Mouse Sports, I don't know, Fnatic, and in a complete upset, and despite winning the international last year, the Alliance are out of the international.
And I wonder what happened there, because I've never been really investigating myself in the internationals, but I heard when the Alliance, when they won, and I just thought when I heard this that how could they go so? How could they just totally flip?
I mean, obviously, I didn't watch it. You know, I pretty much did 5 minutes of research before I got into this topic. But, you know, it might have been that, you know, the whole, well, we won last year, you know.
Yeah, it would.
We're so great, this thing. But, you know, it might have been just, and it might have been just, you know, hey, you know, we don't have to win them all. But,
no.
I don't know.
Well,
digital sports.
Yeah, as we've said before, none of us are really into Dota 2 and or the internationals. So hopefully at some point we'll get someone who's actually, you know, into the whole thing to get him or her on the podcast. And, you know, they could, like, talk about it or I don't know.
If you are a hardcore Dota person and you want to talk about Dota on this show, here is a open door. Which is, I probably just opened the floodgates, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, let's move on to the next topic.
That's Dota 2. Let's talk about TF2.
Yeah, another two.
New TF2 maps. This is actually a new feature, which is that you can now beta test official Valve maps through the Play Now feature. And this update includes a new payload map, which is there's nothing really special about it. It's kind of like your generic looking payload map called Cactus Canyon, but also features a new game mode that takes place on a map called Asteroid, which takes place in space. And the game mode itself is kind of this weird mix between capture the flag and attack and defend. So, I know you didn't get a chance to play these, but what do you think of
you've mentioned it, I'll probably have a look at it later this upcoming week, because payload, I'm not too, you know. I could care less or more about payload, But capture the flag and attack defend. Yeah, probably a look at that. And okay, space, yeah. Man, come on. Gotta give that a try.
It is pretty neat. However, when a character falls off the map, he doesn't really fall. He doesn't really fall off. He just kind of like floats there. I don't think the skybox is big enough or something like that.
Okay.
The cactus candy map, the payload map, is really forgettable.
Man, playing beta testing. It's all I gotta say. It's all beta testing.
Yeah. Playing the asteroid map. It was weird because the whole layout of the thing is confusing. I mean, it's kind of like 2-4'd, but not really. I was kind of expecting there to be like 0G once I got outside, so the first thing I immediately did as an engineer was just jump, and I immediately just killed myself. I was like, oh,
no.
So I guess there is no 0G. There's these weird robots around your base, and you got to protect them and like, they walk around saying, like, oh, function, error and stuff. But, you know, like when you die in Half-Life 2 and it does that beep, 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 beep sound? The robots make that noise, and they do it constantly. So it's kind of upsetting to me because I just think about, like, just dying in, like, Garry's Mod or Half-Life 2 Deathmatch and all that crap. And it's just like, I mean, I know it's just a sound, but like the association I have with that, it's just kind of off-putting.
Yeah, I guess I can see how that's confusing. I'm just gonna check the map out and see how I like it. But I suppose there will be a significant amount of changes before it's officially released.
It is beta, so take that with a grain of salt.
Speaking of Team Fortress 2. If any one of you remembers the Dance Fortress video that came out, was it 2 years ago or something like that? Ooh. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So anyways, the guy who animated that released a few videos on his channel containing, I guess, taunts for every character, and they're all dance taunts. So there's a medic like spinning around on his legs, Pyro doing a split, Spy doing like a little swag move. I don't know.
The story behind this is that James Benson, the animator of Dance Fortress, was going to be commissioned by Valve to make these into, like, official taunts. And he sent them in, and apparently Valve didn't like the animation style that they were. And to be fair, the animation style that's presented is, it's kind of a bit, like, it's a lot more squashy and stretchy compared to the regular TF2, but they are genuinely nice animations.
Yeah. And
he did not want to change them, so these are things that will probably never see the light of day.
I mean, there are some of them I could see. I mean, some of them, okay, some parts in some taunts, they looked kind of, I don't know, there were some flaws, like, but overall, I think they looked really great. But, I mean, in defense of what Valve might be looking for, I think they don't really fit into, like, the overall theme of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the reason why Valve went, oh no, we don't want these. So that's just a theory, but
it's a bummer, but whatever.
We might see them someday.
Yeah.
So, oh,
moving on.
Yes.
There's a new project on Indiegogo, which is called Elements. It is an animated cyberpunk web series created in the Source filmmaker. And this is especially interesting because this does not take place in a Valve universe. Everything's, all the models and stuff and the maps are created specifically for this. And it has an Indiegogo campaign with the goal of $25,000. That's to cover like animation, modeling assets, and stuff like that. And it really just looks like a cool machinima project, and I would love everybody to check that out.
Sorry if I cut you off there, Jeff, but
no, that's
cool. I'm really excited to see this because I think now we're moving into like we're not moving away from, you know, only TF2 stuff, but I think this is like this could set the spark for like future similar projects that it doesn't have to be Portal or Team Fortress 2. It doesn't have to be Valve related just because Source Filmmaker is like Valve property, or,
right.
And I think it's great that we get to see something completely original. And hopefully that I think that can inspire other people to like actually go out and make their own projects and like the more ambitious stuff. That, well, not to say that the what we've seen from like Source Filmmaker in general when it comes to TF2 videos that they're not genuine, that they're not bad.
No, there's ambitious stuff happening in the. The TF2 universe as Source Filmmaker since sort of like the end of the line stuff and, you know, just other various shorts on YouTube.
Yeah.
This taking place in its own universe with its own characters is something that's kind of it really does set it apart from all the other SFM related stuff. And
yeah.
It looks like it has potential. I would love to see this get funded.
Yeah. So as of the time recording, it's got 28 days left, and currently has $606 in funding, so like 2%.
Right.
So hopefully we'll see this take off. The thing with Indiegogo compared to sites like Kickstarter is that you can choose if you want to have a fixed funding or flexible funding. This project in particular has fixed funding, which means if they don't reach their goal, it won't happen. If you have flexible funding, however, you get the money and you work with what you've got. I think Indiegogo takes a bigger cut if you don't reach your goal. So... but yeah, in this case, if they don't make it, they won't get the money.
I'm kind of curious why they did choose Elements to go with Indiegogo instead of a Kickstarter.
Yeah, in this case, it's kind of curious, actually. Maybe it's harder to get noticed on over at Kickstarter.
To be fair, Kickstarter is pretty like oversaturated with like. Not even like, you know, stuff like that. Just kind of like dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Like that guy was going to fund potato salad.
Yeah, I saw that. That was fucking stupid.
Oh, my goodness. Elements on Indiegogo?
Yeah, we'll keep you guys updated over the weeks that this is going on. So, I don't know. It's, well, I guess a month from now we'll know if this succeeded or not. I'm probably gonna throw in a few bucks, cause
I
want to see this happen. And we'll probably leave a link somewhere so that you can go check it out, or you can just go to Indiegogo and search for Elements.
Check the Land Generation Twitter and Tumblr. I'll be posting links there. Want to check that out because this is a cool project.
All right. So should...
And moving on.
Yeah. Neo Tokyo. Jeff, take it away.
Neo Tokyo is a futuristic Half-Life 2 mod set in Japan. And it's a mod, and it has been released for free on Steam for all users to enjoy. I do kind of enjoy this mod. I kind of like its aesthetic more than the actual gameplay. The gameplay is kind of like a capture the flag, but the problem I've been having is that there's not that many servers, and the servers that are for the mod are just kind of they're just constantly full.
Well, to be fair, it's just been released not, I mean, how long was it? A week ago? Not even.
Right.
A week, maybe? I don't know. So I guess it takes time before there will be actual, you know, a decent amount of servers for it to pop up.
What's cool about Neo Tokyo coming out on Steam is that it came out 5 years after its original release.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. Well, not as an official mod, but still.
Yeah. So. I think that's neat. I think check out Neo Tokyo. Maybe we'll play. Maybe you actually find a server space. It's all good.
Yeah.
I like more mods coming to Steam and stuff.
Yeah. So. Not really much to talk about there.
Speaking of multiplayer stuff, Counter-Strike GO, Operation Breakout, low price is $6. You can support community mapmakers for CS with this bundle. It features 6 maps, Black Gold, Castle, Insertion, Mist, Overgrown, and Rush. These vary from hostage rescue maps to defuse maps. Some of them take place on an offshore oil rig. Another one takes place on a castle. Another one takes place on a large, open, rescue map, a stormy mountaintop, and like a dilapidated shipyard. So, new content for CSGO.
I'm actually I mean, this is the kind of content I would like to see more of in the future, like, supporting community maps. Like, you buy a pack, you play it for, I guess, is this a time, is this, like, are these gonna be available for a time, or are they like, you bought them and they'll be with you forever?
Yeah, Operation Breakout works in that, it's not just the maps that are involved, you also, the chest will drop, which is, pretty much like the TF2 crates, and those have added, value to them, too. And it's for a limited time, so eventually these maps will be put into the rotation, but you can, enjoy them. If you do purchase the Operation Breakout Pass, which we recommend you do, because these are some pretty fantastic looking maps.
That's right. Boom. Support community work. Says the guy who didn't want you to purchase cosmetics for Team Fortress 2. But I guess it's different.
Well, to be fair, both like the cosmetics and the maps, they both do support part of the community if they are community made. But I would like to see more maps.
Yeah.
Let's move on to some other gaming stuff. I know you know a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take it from here. So, probably some of you know about a game named Hearthstone. I think it's Blizzard that's developing it, and they're gonna have a tournament. There was a bit of, I don't know, there was a fuss about it because when they came out and announced this tournament, they said they were gonna divide, the tournament into into male players and female players. Meaning that both genders, so to speak, wouldn't play against each other. If I'm not completely wrong, I think they went out afterwards and, you know, redid the whole thing, or at least part of it, so that female players who wanted to play against, you know, guys, I guess, are allowed to. And I don't know if there's still, like, a female separately or not. But I think this raises the question, because some... I thought I read an argument somewhere. Someone said that, we want this to feel more like a sport, so we're dividing them into male and female. And what I guess they meant by that is that, you know, like take soccer or football as an example. It's divided into male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And most sports are. I'm not going to say every sport in the history of war is like divided, but I know most of them are. And I don't know, should this be a thing in esports as well? Jeff, what do you think?
I think it just gets to that whole bigger topic of, you know, women and sports. For this specifically, I do think that, you know, physically, you know, obviously the genders are different. That's probably why they don't want them playing, you know, basketball or like football together or stuff. I get that. But Hearthstone is just a game. It's just like a computer game. There's no, like, the only thing it really takes is, like, you know, it's your brain. It's not like I don't see why you would need to separate the genders based on that. I think that's kind of an insult to the females actually play this game, because no. This is I don't see what's stopping anyone from playing it any different.
No. I can kind of see where they're coming from, because since video game like the industry is and it's kind of, I'm going to come with a counter-argument to this, but I think if you asked, like, any gamer, like, is the industry dominated by male or female gamers, you'd probably go and say male gamers.
Of course.
So in that respect, I think it's good that females get their, like, they get their attention in a separate tournament. Because, you know, male gamers, you know, generally there are more of them. But then again, if you, like, check statistics from, I don't know, not too long ago, I think someone, like, figured out that 50% of all gamers are girls. So, you know, that kind of argument that it's a male-dominated industry, I don't think that really works as an argument. But I can kind of see where they're coming from, that they want to have a female tournament exclusively. But yeah, as you said, I don't think no, physically it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's just separating it, you know, you almost feel like, you know, oh, well, now I just have, like, this special group that's, you know, just for me, and, you know, it's not like the real, you know, the real tournament or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's just like, we're put here. It's just that, like, they're being put here because obviously we're at, like, a disadvantage. I don't think that would be true. I mean, if you're good at Hearthstone, you're good at Hearthstone.
Mm.
And I think separating that, you lose that big goal of actually, like, you know, competing, like, the bigger tournament.
Yeah. Well, if anyone listening to this has any opinion or input on this, feel free to share them, and we'll probably talk about it in a future episode.
And that probably gets into a whole bigger topic of, like, sexism in the gaming industry and stuff that, and that is a whole show's worth.
If it happens, we'll cut it down to, like, 5 minutes of discussion, and we'll leave it at that. So that's pretty much all the topics we have for this week. But we haven't gone on for too long, so maybe we could cut it short. But I would like to hear what Jeff has to say about his experience with the Broken Age.
You know, I totally forgot about that, because I forgot that we were actually going to talk about the games he was playing. But yes, so Broken Age, Act 1. This is the Double Fine Kickstarter game that I actually supported, but I only put in like $5. So I just wanted to see like the behind the scenes stuff. Act one is it takes you back to like that classic adventure gamey type feel. You play as you can swap between the two playable characters. And those are Shay and Vella. And Shay lives aboard like this big spaceship and stuff, and he's pretty much babied by all the AI that exists on the ship, and everything's on there just to make him, you know, feel pampered and stuff. And then you have Vella, and she lives in a village on a planet, and her planet. Her villages are terrorized by this beast called Mog Chothra. And Mog Chothra, every year or so, he comes around and the villagers offer them five women for him to eat.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much like a big offering, and they treat it like this big ceremonial thing. And Vella manages to escape the clutches of Mog Chothra, and she thinks that she's deemed a traitor by her village. But again, since this is just Act One, there's not really like a lot to follow up on there.
No.
Shay, on the other hand, there's like intergalactic wars going on outside of the galaxy, and he's being sheltered by all of that, and he gets a chance to help in that, but the ship pretty much starts to like lock everything out. So. Yeah. That's the gist of it.
I was gonna ask you. I was gonna check. So right now it's about $25, more or less, give or take. Would you say it's, you know, worth it in its current state?
Well, I got it on sale when it was like, was it 18?
Okay.
Something like that. But, because Act 2 isn't out yet, and it is coming as like a free release, I think if you're interested in this, I think you're just better off waiting for Act 2, because I think you are going to get more enjoyment out of that if you play it as just a big hole. Yeah. $25, however, I mean, that's kind of much. The original Kickstarter price is like $15. It is. It's funny. I love the music in it. The art style is phenomenal. Yeah. I really love the drawings by Bagel. But yeah, $25. That's kind of high. But you know, if you want it, man, get it. This is something.
All right.
What about video games you've been
playing? Oh man, I've been playing so many video games. Since we've been gone for a week, well, 2 weeks if you, depending on how you count. But I finished Last of Us. Amazing game. Definitely.
Did you get the DLC?
I haven't got the DLC yet, but I will eventually. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed that game. I mean, I don't know what to say about it that hasn't already been said. I'm gonna say one bad thing about the game is, the movement and the combat is not so good. But everything else is really, it really justifies the Game of the Year awards that they've got.
Hmm.
That's my opinion anyway. So I finished that. I also, let's see. Oh yeah, I played the last episode of Wolf Among Us, and I'm not gonna go ahead and spoil that.
No spoilers. How was it though?
I mean, kind of what you would expect from Telltale. It was pretty amazing. It was a really nice, really nice finish, and yeah, if you haven't picked it up yet, you missed the midweek deal for it. But I mean, at 20 bucks, I'd say you go for it. It's definitely worth the money.
Especially now that it's all together as a whole, and you're not waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
For episodes,
and it's a really great game, and I think the price tag is completely justified. What else have I been playing? Oh, I played Always Sometimes Monsters.
Wow, how is that?
That was an interesting experience. So what Always Sometimes Monster is, people go ahead and describe it as a life simulator. And they wouldn't be completely wrong about it, but basically what it is, I'm gonna just give you a hint of the story. It's basically you're a writer who's broke and down on his or her luck. And you get a wedding invitation from your ex-girlfriend and or boyfriend. And the goal of the game is basically you have to get to this wedding. Or that's like the goal that you kind of set out for yourself. So the game is all about choice. And that's a kind of a big thing in today's, in the games that come out today. I'd say it's a big thing because you got the Walking Dead games, Wolf Among Us, games like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some, you know, decision-making games. But Always Sometimes Monsters does it really well, and it doesn't necessarily shove it down your throat. Like, in the beginning of every Telltale game, it says, well, at least the episodic ones, it says, oh, your choices change how the game plays. And it Always Sometimes Monster does it in the same way, but it doesn't, you know, you kind of figure that out for yourself. And I think there's a whole lot more, you know, consequences to the choices that you make in this game, as opposed to the other Telltale games. At the end of the day, though, you need to like maintain the story. But what I really liked about this game, though, is not only does the choices you make, some of them are like really hard to make. But what I really liked about this game was you don't go from, like, zero to hero as in most other games these days. Because it's just, you know, you are at zero and you kind of stay at zero all the way through. So it's not a feel-good game at all, actually. No. When I finished it, I was kind of like, what? But I'm not happy with this, or, you know. So it's definitely a unique experience. Worth noting, though, it's made in RPG Maker.
Okay.
The style is kind of similar to a game that came out a few years ago, To the Moon, which was pretty well received.
Okay.
But yeah, this I definitely recommend this this game, and it's not short any. I think it took me like 10 hours to complete. So it's a decent amount of time you put into the game.
Worth the $10?
Yes, I'd say so.
All right.
If you want to wait for like, I mean, if you could get it at 25% off, you should definitely go for it. But I think I didn't bought it on during the sale or anything. I bought it straight from the store when I first heard about it. So, and I say it was a pleasant experience. Well, it was an interesting experience. I wasn't really happy, but it's a fun game.
Well, hey, man, things about, you know, storytelling and stuff is that maybe, you know, the story, the ending of the story it's not necessarily supposed to make you feel good.
No, not exactly.
You know. Make you feel, man.
It's all about the feels, but if you get a chance to, like, pick it up and have the time to play it, I strongly recommend it, because I don't know, might be one of those hidden gems that you never pick up.
I will definitely check it out on the next. I'm going to add it to wish list right now.
I don't know if I've been playing anything else, really. Oh, well,
CF2.
No, nothing. I did.
No CS.
No, I did play Long Live the Queen, though. And it's kind of the Dark Souls of simulator games, because you die very easily. You're basically, you play as a princess, and you're 1 month away from you're about to become queen, and everyone and everything wants to kill you.
Oh.
So.
Right.
So you gotta, like, level up your different skills to make sure you don't get poisoned, stabbed, die when you're climbing on a rooftop, drown when you're swimming, you know, so back. So forth and so. So, and I was actually doing pretty good. And then I got killed by eating chocolate that was poisoned.
What made you get this one?
Well, I saw a few people play it. I saw a few playthroughs, so I kind of knew what I was going into. If you want to, like, get a good taste of it, there is a YouTuber named Dodger on Press R to Continue. She did a few episodes of this, so if you're curious about it, you should go check out the playthrough that she does. But yeah, it's a weird little game, but it's got a charm.
Some visual novels and stuff. All right.
So yeah, that was pretty much my week, or 2 weeks in gaming. Sometimes monsters kind of took up most of this week.
I don't have any other games stuff beyond, you know, just going into Dark RPG mod and just, you know, trolling people who actually try to play the game seriously. So.
Uncool, bro. Uncool.
That looks like this is it.
Yeah.
For this episode.
Yeah, we've been gone now for a while now. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, there's other stuff to talk about, like to watch. It's like, you know, you got the World Cup, you got the International.
Oh man, I wonder if it's over yet.
Let's check. Let's have a
FIFA World Cup 2000. No, it's a tie.
Okay.
It's probably going to be penalties. Anyways, so, yeah, that was this week's episode.
Thanks for listening. You can shoot us an email. We'll try to feature it on the show, you know. I mean, you know, if it's dumb or if it's mean, you know. I mean, and we might just feature that for fun.
Yeah, we might make fun of you.
But, yeah. Jeff@lambdageneration.com. We'll try to get a podcast email up. That was it. Let's say goodbye, everybody.
Both of us. Bye.
Everybody.